tap into the energy of infinite possibility with Energy Radio, your playground for expansion. We are your hosts, Cindy Briolotta
and Kristen Webster. We are committed to expanding consciousness on the planet, shining the light of possibility and truth so that everyone can embrace life with an expanded mind, happy heart, and playful spirit.
Each week we bring you interactive and exciting information from new thought leaders and experts in the field of personal growth.
Together with our guests, we use cutting-edge energy tools and on-air transformation sessions to empower you to make quantum leaps in all areas of your life.
So put down your old ways of being and come play with us in the energy of infinite possibility.
Hello, and welcome to Energy Radio. We are so excited to be speaking with Mal Duane today, author of Alpha Chick, 5 Steps for Moving from Pain to Power.
Mal Duane, CRC, is an Alpha Chick extraordinaire. She built a multi-million-dollar real estate company from scratch, has a dream marriage, and as a certified professional life and recovery coach, is deeply involved with helping women discover and use their connection with the divine power within to become their own version of an alpha chick. Her life experience, including recovering from a struggle with alcoholism as a young woman, has provided her with extensive hands-on, in-the-trenches experience for taking hold of a life and bringing forward the potential that lies buried beneath the scars and hurts. In 2007, she built the Catherine Holly School in Mali, West Africa, which educates 100 children annually. She's also the founder of Holly's Gift, an educational assistance fund for women. Alpha Chick, 5 Steps for Moving from Pain to Power, is more than just a roadmap to happiness, success, and fulfillment. It's a model for any woman who dreams of having those things. It clearly guides you step by step in the process of becoming your own unique brand of alpha chick and sets you on your own path to being the sizzling, empowered woman you are meant to be. Follow Mal's poignant journey from heartache and addiction to self-worth and freedom and learn her simple 5-step formula for transformation. Mal, we're so thrilled to have you with us today.
Thank you, ladies. It's an honor to be with you today, the both of you and with your listeners. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, we are very honored that you've joined us. And I like that Cindy made the little Freudian slip of saying alpha check, because I think that would be, once we establish alpha chickness, we'll be able to write our own alpha checks.
Yes!
And we love that. So, Mal, welcome. And I'm wondering, you did have quite a fascinating journey, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about how you picked yourself up by your bootstraps and did get you into this place of glory, really, for lack of a better way of explaining it, to really becoming this alpha chick extraordinaire.
I'd be happy to. My life started to unravel at a pretty early age. I was in my teens and started drinking to feel good about myself. I was 6 feet tall. I weighed about 100 pounds. I was subject to a lot of bullying and social insults. So I started drinking, and that worked for a while. But I got into my 20s. I was brokenhearted in my first serious relationship. And then I had one failed relationship after another, and that started to sort of plant the seeds for getting married to somebody, and that ended up in a, you know, very bitter divorce, and all the while still using alcohol as my crutch. And what was happening was it was no longer working. Instead of beginning to feel better about myself when I drank, I started to slip a little deeper and a little deeper into a very dark place. And finally, after 25 years of doing this, I hit the wall. I hit that place where I felt there were no other options for me, that I had no choice in what was going to happen. And I was looking at death as a real possibility, as an option for me, because I knew I could not go on. I knew that. And in that very dark space is when I heard a voice I had never heard before. And it was a spiritual awakening. It was an epiphany. And this voice said to me, "You're going to be okay. You're going to have a good life. But you have lessons to learn. And once you've mastered these lessons, you will need to go and teach others what you have learned." And at the time, that didn't really mean a lot to me, but I listened. And I knew that I had to, first of all, address my addiction, which I did, and got into AA and different support things. But I also started to really work on myself and what I was reading, what I was putting into my mind. I was very, very careful of that. And it took some time. It wasn't an instant fix. But I started to do things on a repetitive basis, and I really wasn't identifying it as a process at the time, but I could start to see improvements in my life. My self-worth and self-love started to build, and I had never experienced those feelings before. And my business success started to build, and my personal relationships started to build, and my life took on a complete transition from where it had been. I changed. When I tell you that the shift was just so dramatic, it's almost hard to explain where I am today compared to where I was 23 years ago. And I know in my heart, if I can do it, any woman can do it.
I love that story. That does not sound too dissimilar from my own journey. I thought you were writing my story for a minute. Sans the alcohol. And I think you're absolutely right, and I love that message of anybody can do this. It's a process, but you can do it. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about what exactly an alpha chick is in your definition of an alpha chick. And let's start with the empowerment from that place.
To me, an alpha chick is an awakened woman. It's a woman that is listening to her higher self. She's got a higher consciousness. She is the deliberate creator of her own experience. And that's how we all want to live, authentically.
Yeah. Amen. I love that. I love that definition. As a matter of fact, I jotted it down as you were speaking because that's going on my wall.
And that's really what we are all about and what this show is really all about. And as part of that process, Mel, you talk about helping women discover and use their connection to the divine power within. Can you tell us a little bit more about, first of all, how we can discover the connection for ourselves and then how we can use it to empower ourselves?
Unfortunately, as women, we look on the outside for answers. We go to everybody else for validation and for direction. But in fact, everything that we want to know and every bit of guidance that we need, we already have. It's within. And to tap into that takes a little bit of practice. It's every day, starting with the spiritual practice of either meditation, prayer, journaling. I use all three, actually. I've made it a very personal experience. But if we can get our mind to quiet down, to stop that voice, that's the ego that is connected to what everybody else's opinion is of us, and it's all the exterior chatter that's going on, if we can just quiet that down, our true voice, our higher self, is going to come through.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sorry, I was in a place of just complete awe in that moment of like, yeah, so true.
Mm-hmm.
So you have developed through the course of many years a five-step formula, as you call it, for transformation,
mm-hmm.
to bring forth buried potential. Can you tell us about that formula?
Mm-hmm. It's taken me 23 years to really grasp what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was doing something that was really a process. I just knew that I had a commitment to fixing my life. And so what happened was when I decided to write the book, and I was sitting down after meditation one morning, and I was getting to the part of all the things that I had been doing that created change in my life. I actually thought there were 7 or 8 steps to my process that I had been using. And lo and behold, that wonderful divine voice that has been guiding me said, "Oh no, dear child, there are only 5 steps, and they spell faith." Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my. I had never looked at them that way until I started to write the book. But then as I wrote the steps out, it made complete sense to me. I said, this is exactly what it is. This is it. So the first step we talked about was focus, going within, tapping into that higher guidance that we all have, that higher consciousness. And we do that on a daily basis to quiet our minds down. The second step is acceptance and attitude, the A of faith. And when we can accept everything that has gone on in our lives, in our past, we're not judging that it's right or wrong. We're just saying, yes, it happened. I can't make it go away. I can't wipe the slate clean. But I can just accept and release the resistance. Let it go. Release the resistance. It's the resistance that keeps us in pain.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. That's an important awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hold on to this stuff like it's an old suitcase.
Right.
And we keep dragging it around.
Let it define us.
No. And that's who we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
So release it. And then as we release these things, they no longer have the weight on our soul that they once had. And when that weight is lifted, amazingly, our attitude starts to change about these things. And they no longer are as important to us as they once were. So there's really a two-step thing here where you accept it, and then once you accept these things, your attitude starts to change. The third step is identification and intention. If we are able to be honest and truthful with ourselves and identify what we are doing that is sabotaging our lives, negative behaviors, addiction, whatever it is, identify the things that are not working for us, then we are able to set intentions for what we do want to attract into our lives. And the word intention is very important because an intention has soul behind it. And when you put an intention out to the universe responds because of the energy that you're putting out. The fourth step is thoughts, the T of faith. And there's been a lot written about positive thinking and the importance of what we think and how it will attract into our lives what we concentrate on and what we think about.
Mm-hmm.
I tell women, look it, your mind can only hold one thought at a time. So why not make it a good one?
Mm.
Why not be in control of your thoughts? Use your thinking to empower yourself, not to hurt yourself. And the fifth step is the H, healing and helping. And when you do these steps, what's going to happen is you're going to feel that shift in your body. You're going to feel this change in your core. You know you were healing. You know you're standing in your power. You know you're walking in your light. You can feel it. Mm-hmm. It's like fine-tuned machinery. Everything is just humming. And when you're in that state, you need to start to give it away. That's how you hold on to it. Mm-hmm. By giving your knowledge, giving your strength, giving your power to others, teaching others how to do that is how you hold on to it and stay strong.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. At the end, you give it away in order to, you know, because we think, you know, certainly culturally we're conditioned to hold on to things. That's how you keep them, right? But in this spiritual point of, from the spiritual point of view, you hold on to it by giving it away. I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it only it magnifies.
Right.
It becomes bigger.
Right.
By giving it away. It's the law of reciprocity, of circulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come back to you.
Right. Mel, I know that you have what you call soul notes, and I know that you, I'd love to actually hear more about, because they seem to me to be inspired, so I'd like to know a little bit more about the genesis of them, and then I'd love to talk with you about the content of some of them, because they're pretty amazing.
Okay.
So are these inspired? That's what they seem like to me.
Yes. They are notes that I write down during my meditation or afterwards. They are messages that come to me when my mind is quiet.
Mm.
And I have notebooks filled with them. And what happened was I was writing them down. And then this year, after I had completed the book, I was given a message that it was time to share my soul notes, that they would bring comfort to others. Others would like them, and they would find them inspiring, and to share them, to give them away, let everyone read them. So we've been posting them on the website.
Yes, I that's where I found them, and they are really inspiring. Mm-hmm. So you talk about gratitude. So would you talk a little bit more about that, about the role that gratitude plays?
Gratitude creates incredible energy in our lives. When we are grateful for what we have, and ladies, there's always something we can be grateful about, no matter how awful we think things are at any given moment. There is always something we can be grateful for, and we need to tap into that. You need to identify things that you're grateful for. I highly recommend every night before you go to sleep, you find 5 things you're grateful for. And they can be small things. Oh, I'm so glad so-and-so called me today. Oh, gee, I filled up my car today, and it didn't cost me as much as it cost me last week. I mean, there are things. And no matter how small they are, they're still important. And if you can identify those things and create the seed of gratitude before you go to sleep, you start to build on that. You start to build on that energy. And then when you're waking up the next day, you're just in a better place because you're coming from gratitude. You don't wake up consumed with fear and, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this done, or what's going to happen today? How am I going to deal with this? You're coming from a little bit different place because you went to bed with a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude is so essential to our own development and transition and transformation.
It does make a huge difference in your day, and I can vouch for that, having had a bad day yesterday and finding this one little moment, this one sliver.
Mm-hmm.
To hang on to, and it changed everything around. And by the end of the day, it was like, yeah, rocking this day out after all. So gratitude, I agree 100%, is so, so critical. Can I jump back to your 5-step formula for a minute? Because I have a question.
Yes, absolutely.
About it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I love that. I love that, you know, it's simplified. I am actually curious what your 2 other steps were, not that they're relevant anymore because you've really funneled it down, but it's funny how we make things more complex.
Right.
Well, on some level, and then all of a sudden, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was, what happened was I was breaking it down. They're all included in the five, but I was breaking it down that, you know, getting rid of negative behaviors. And then I had another step of, you know, identifying what we wanted to attract into our lives. But I was told, no, that is one component. They interlock, the identification and the intention. They connect. They're like two pieces of a puzzle. You can't pull them apart. They must be together.
Got it.
In order to set the intention, you have to identify what's not working.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do one without the other.
Right. Right. I love that source said, yeah, you made this more difficult than it needs to be. You
know? Yeah. And the acceptance and the attitude, the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because as soon as you stop resisting and you accept, your attitude completely changes.
Mm-hmm.
You're freeing
yeah.
yourself.
Right.
And so they're two components that are actually like two pieces of a puzzle that just interlock.
Right. You do one and the other automatically follows.
Yes.
Nice.
What's interesting about these five steps is that no matter what piece of work you could go out and read or look at or in the self-help arena, in the personal transformation, in the spiritual, somewhere that material is in these five steps. That is what is amazing about it.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize it when I first wrote them, but now I understand that no matter what process somebody is teaching, there is going to be a component somewhere in these five steps. So
right.
these are very simple. It's very mm-hmm. simple language, clear, concise, very doable, but extremely powerful.
Right. Do you think that there's a place in your process where people, in your experience, where people typically get hung up? Like for me, where as energetically as we were going through it, sort of identification and intention seem like a sticking point for people where they were afraid to maybe look or, you know, afraid to acknowledge. Is that, have you found that to be true? Or mm-hmm. do you, when you're, once you start this five-step process, does everything just flow really seamlessly and easily?
No, it's not going to be seamless and easy. It takes commitment. I find that there are some areas where people get challenged.
Yeah.
And I think it's a temporary challenge. And the first one is just quieting our mind down.
Well, true.
And that's just, I mean, it's not easy to do. As you know, when you something grips you the rest of the day, you know, you're thinking it over. And, well, what if I say this and do that? It just happens. But if early on you can build a practice that will teach you to quiet the mind down, bring you to that state where you can start to connect to your very present moment, and you're not thinking about the past and you're not thinking about the future, but you're just sitting right in this present moment and just getting still. So that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Acceptance,
I forgot about
is a
that
challenge.
One.
Yeah. Acceptance for women is a challenge because there have been some horrific things that have happened to women.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I can't, you know, never. I'm not saying that you're saying, I'm not asking you to say it's right. That's
mm-hmm.
not what this is about. This is about saying it happened, but it's no longer going to hold me back from being the divine woman that I am here to be. It's
mm-hmm.
no longer going to hold me back. You're going to accept it and you're going to let it go.
Mm. You could feel the power in your voice when you said that. Like that has become a mantra for you. This will
yes.
no longer hold me back.
No.
This will no
not
longer define me.
Nope.
I love that.
And the identification, because it's getting truthful.
Mm-hmm.
It's really getting honest. You're doing some real digging here. You're looking in and you're looking at all your faults and you're looking at things and that you know are no longer working for you and behaviors that are just, you know, they're holding you back. They're keeping you from your power. They're holding you in past pain. It that can be a painful process.
Yeah.
But once you do it, it opens the doors as to, it's the key to the door to walk through on the other side now to your intentions. It opens up that door.
It's sort of the tipping point in the process, really.
Yes.
It sounds like, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And I think that a key when doing this, that process, is to do it without beating oneself up. Because often when we're looking for the stuff that's not working inside us or in our lives, we come into it with a lot of blame, self-blame, or blame for others, right? And that will certainly impede the process. So I think key there is to just almost take the observer, the witness position here, and just, you know, kind of excavate with the intention of healing rather than with the intention of finding places to lay blame.
Oh, yeah. We're not finding fault here. No,
right.
We're just looking to say, wait a minute, I have been eating 3,000 calories a day, and my body is reflecting this, and now what am I going to do about it? I'm ruining my health.
Mm.
We're doing this without judgment. There's no judgment when you identify. No one's judging you, because now you're going to start looking at yourself from a higher awareness, a higher consciousness. You're not looking at yourself from your daily thought process. You're looking at yourself from your divine intelligence. It's different.
Yeah, would you talk a little bit more about that? Because that is so critical about, you know, how to get to that place and being in that place, because, right, our divine aspect is not ever going to judge us in any way.
No, exactly. So that's the key. That's where the divine intelligence comes in step one. I always recommend you do these in the order that they are created. If you try to move them around, you're not going to get the same effect. So if you get hung up on the focus going within, just keep going back. Make it something personal that feels very comfortable to you. I have to share with you, the most wonderful tray. This big, huge tray that I got at Home Goods, but I just liked it. And I have it on an ottoman in front of a chair that I love. And on that tray, I have three different little Buddhas that are so cute. And I have a couple of pictures of one of my husband with my dog and my parents who are long gone. I have a delicious candle. I have fabulous mala beads that a friend gave me. I have another little silver medal that I got in my travels. This is my spiritual space. This, and I can move it around because it's on a tray. So if something happens and I can't be in my chair when I want to be, I can move my altar or my special tray to wherever I want to be. But I sit with those things and I connect with them. They start to back down that monkey mind, all that chatter. And I have a gorgeous picture of the Taj Mahal. And I look at that and I say, I'm coming. I see myself standing right in front of that. I'll say, I'm coming. I'm going to be there soon. It's wonderful. So make it your own. Collect some things. You could have them even in a little box. But make it personal. Bring things to you and around you that give you comfort, even if it's pictures or a little book or a little statue.
Right. Right. So important to really celebrate ourselves. It sounds like that's a little place to celebrate yourself, to just fall
exactly.
in love with you. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And maybe that's a little good subject to talk about as well, sort of an extension of what you were just talking about that falling in love with yourself process, which it sounds like part of your faith five-step process.
Yes.
Is that something that you can talk about or tell us a little bit
mm-hmm.
more about, like how, you know, once you reach that acceptance of what happened and you identify,
mm-hmm.
You know, how do you come from a place of just saying it's all perfect? And I love me for it. I love me for this journey that I've been on, because that's the place where empowerment happens, I think.
You absolutely. And I spent my youth looking for my self-worth in other people and looking for love in other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them were the most inappropriate people. They had no interest in me. And if they threw crumbs my way, you know,
mm-hmm. that you would were willing be, to pick them up.
Exactly. When I started the process of faith in the five steps, I started to realize my goodness. I started to, through that connection to that inner voice, I started to understand who I truly was, that I am a creation. I'm actually a spiritual being in a human body. That's really what we are. And I started to understand my connection to God. I believe in God. Not everybody does. You don't. But even if it's your connection to the universal energy or your higher self, whatever, I started to understand who I was. And I started to understand that the path that I had traveled was absolutely the perfect path that I needed to be on, because it brought me to the point of giving away the message, of writing the book. It all made perfect sense to me that I was meant to travel that journey, because it taught me so much about becoming strong and changing our lives and being the creator of my own experience and not putting all my value in the hands of somebody else. So it was absolute perfection for me. And that's really what tipped me over completely to, you know, understanding exactly what I had done.
And I think that can be so empowering. If we can just take a moment, you know, especially when we seem to be going through times that are difficult or challenging, if we can just remind ourselves that this is a path that leads somewhere and that everything is in perfect order, because it's easy to forget that when you're in the midst of some kind of chaos or painful situation. So I think that message is so powerful.
There's a couple of questions we can ask ourselves when we're in the throes of something. What is this really all about? What is my reaction to this all about? Because it's usually an old tape. It usually has nothing to do with what's really happening in your life. You're normally responding from an old tape, an old situation.
Mm-hmm.
What can I learn from this experience when you're in something that's truly causing you, you know, upset and aggravation? And what can I learn from it? And when you're learning something from it, what is the action step? What's the lesson here? How can I take this, and how can I take it a step further and apply the lesson in my life now? What action step could I take that would empower me from this experience?
Mm-hmm. Those are awesome questions. I hope that everybody got those. Re-listen if you didn't get those, but those were really not always, I'll be the first to say, not always easy to remember when you're in the middle of ugly. Not always easy to stop for a moment, take a breath and say, what is this all about? And I liked your question about what is my reaction to this all about? Because that almost separates you from the situation in that moment and allows you to observe, like, I'm behaving that way. Why?
You become an observer to this rather than a participant. We don't want to be participants in ugly.
Mm-hmm.
We want to observe and then say, okay, what can I do about this that's going to be good for me? We don't want to be in the throes of an ugly experience.
Yeah.
Our lives are never going to be perfect. Even when you're standing in your power, I wrote a blog about this on Monday. Even when we're standing in empowerment, life is never going to be perfect. There are going to be things that are going to come up that are going to pull at us, try to knock us down.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be people that are going to be jealous of you, that do not see things the way you see them, and they're going to try to knock you down. And I'm going through that right now, and it's been very unpleasant.
Sure.
But
when
you
stand
know
in your power, people don't want to see that, right?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. You make other people jealous, and they don't respond to you living in the light and living in your power when maybe they're still in the darkness.
Right.
And so it's so important to become the observer of the situation. And what can I do through all of this? What are my actions going to be through this that are going to empower me? And then the other thing is, I always try to hold the other person, if it's a conflict with an individual, I try to hold them in prayer. I try to send them love and healing. That's all I can do. I can't do anything more than that, but I can pray for you and say, dear God, heal them. Heal the wounds that they still have.
Right. You know, Michael Bernard back with a few weeks ago had a great line, and I just adored it because he basically said, you know, you want people talking about you. You know, that's a good thing. And, you know, even if they're not talking about you in a way that's positive, that's a great thing. He was actually saying basically that it was better if they were talking about you not in a positive light, because it meant that you triggered them in that moment in such a way that it got them to think. It ruffled their feather, and it was wonderful.
You stirred something that is unhealed in them.
Yeah, which is great.
That's what it's all about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want people talking about us.
Yeah. What's happening is you're bringing up unhealed issues in them.
Yeah. Mm. Right, and it's their choice. Their choice if they want to heal it, if they want to identify it. We should have a little card with faith on it, then hand that to them from now on. I think we'll have to come up with little cards for you, Mal, that you can hand out when you ruffle someone's feather.
I would. And I've ruffled a few.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Of course you have, because you are being brave enough to shine your light, and by default that is going to ruffle feathers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's so important to talk about this, because this is something that really holds us back, the fear of the reaction that we'll get from others. For many people, this is a big stopping point, you know, that really prevents people from shining their light and reaching their own full potential, because they're afraid of losing, you know, the social acceptance. So it's so huge to bring this to light and to say that, you know, you can still shine your light and send healing and love and prayer to others, and let them, you know, let them live in their judgments and their stories and wherever they, because you have no control over what someone else is thinking about you or anything else, right? So,
yes.
But I think it's so important to just say this out loud. What you said is so powerful that, you know, people may or may not agree with you, and that's okay.
Yeah. And Cindy, you know what? Fear, I mean, it's crippling. Fear can be just an awful thing. And please, I still experience fear in my life. There are things that will grip me. But what I do now is I tap into my faith.
Hmm.
And it's the faith. Faith is the exact opposite of fear.
Right.
And if you can tap into the faith, if you can tap into the belief in yourself, if you can tap into your intention, that you know what you're trying to do, and you know that there is goodness behind your intention, if you can stay connected to that, then the storm of unhealed perceptions will pass.
Mm. That's huge. That was a really, I felt a shift in that, so I think that a lot of people just moved to a different place in approaching that fear. You know,
it's awful.
Yeah. But I think that shift, what you just said, really is going to help people move through that a little bit more gracefully. So thank you for bringing that to light.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, now that we've gotten to this place of new empowerment that we're all feeling, so can tell us a little bit, you know, as you move through this process and as you move through your life and you got to this place of empowerment, what becomes possible?
Anything.
I know.
Anything. You name it. Look, before the show started, I told you how old I was, 64 years old. I'm releasing my first book. Some people said to me, are you crazy? Wait, you're 64. Who's going to want to read you? Hello. you know what? I never gave it a second thought.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel 64. Mm-hmm. I feel fabulous.
You are fabulous.
You know,
that's your new age. Fabulous is your new age, next time anyone asks.
I don't identify with a chronological limitation here. I'm sorry.
Nope.
I just don't.
Oh, good.
And I keep creating more things I want to do, and I've never given my age one thought about it. I mean,
right.
I started my company, my real estate company, coming out as a .com at first, you know, when I was 50. So some people would say, oh, you know, it's time that maybe I step back. I'm getting too old. We're never too old.
Yeah.
And we can do anything we want. And that's what I want all the women out there to understand who are alpha chicks in the making. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, that's just yummy. That is just totally yummy. And I, you know, as I raised that question and you said anything, you could just feel that passion just pulsing, you know, coursing through your veins. And I can totally understand and relate to that place. In fact, Cindy and I were talking about this a little bit before the show about just that drives you then. That becomes your life force and your energy. Energy Radio came about because it's about aligning that inner passion, that inner with your life force and being able to come into inner alignment and then just move forward brilliantly. And I love the passion you have for that, and I can totally feel like you have no age. You have no limits. And, you know, this place of empowerment where anything and everything is possible is so huge.
There's one other thing I want to add to this that's most important. Now, you take The Secret. I love The Secret. I thought The Secret was fabulous. Rhonda Byrne, which she created, was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But The Secret, to me, was really about acquiring, getting what you wanted. I think there's a very important component to all of that, and it is, here's the key to all of this, you must become the person, the woman you were meant to be in order to attract and create all those things you want to create.
Yeah.
You just can't wave a magic wand and say,
no.
Oh, I want this and I want that. You need to become the fabulous, divine goddess you're meant to be. And then the attraction part is actually the easy part.
That's big.
Yes, and I think, you know, it's so brilliant that you said that, because that is so true, that it's really the being. Yes, and there is doing, of course. There are things to do, yes, but it's really being, really coming into being, and you know, just kind of, well, that, you know, that's just be the change you want to see, right? Be it, to be that, and that's really, that's your power right there. And then, yes, you do what you need to do to get things done, but it really is that being piece is so perfect and so beautiful. And yes, who we truly are, this divine, the divine, right? The spark of the divine. So it's so important. I love what you said, fabulous divine goddess. That's brilliant.
I think that's your next book.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm. You
fabulous
know what?
Divine
I'm now. It's funny you say that, Kristen, because I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
How can I contribute more to women? I'm thinking about it. What would they like to see next or hear next or read next? I am giving that some very serious thought.
But and that's so critical, you know, just relating that, like connecting the dot back to the empowerment piece of what we were talking about and what started this sort of strain of the conversation is that empowerment, that beingness that we've talked about. And I do want to add to that beingness, although this is a little segue, is when you are being it, whether it's materialistically shown up in your life or not, when you're being it, it almost doesn't matter because you feel it anyhow, and it's an amazing feeling. But so I lost my train of thought. So, you know, connecting the dot on that empowerment and just stepping forward fully, there's a creative current that runs through you. So you talk about, you know, I'm wondering what the next thing is. And it's that passion and that bubbly, exciting creativity that comes from being in that alignment. And that is so juicy for me when I'm in that place. I love it.
I'm putting it out there because I'm looking for guidance. I should
here
do
to be
next.
Your co-authors.
Yeah, and I'm looking to see, should I do a book on soul notes? Something, you know, small with just tons of soul notes.
Yeah.
Do I write another book? I started a novel about 8 years ago, kind of a medical thriller. Should I go back to that? So, you know, I'm going to figure it out.
Do it all.
But, yeah, I will probably. But it, you know, I'm so glad that you embrace that idea. It's really about being first. And when we are in our being, in our power, in our higher consciousness, living as divine goddesses, the need for the materialistic things aren't as important. I mean, they come.
Yeah.
They come. They just automatically come. But it's not your driving force anymore.
No, right.
It's not what you're about, which is, it's funny. I mean, I have everything I want, but I'm not looking to acquire anything else either. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to have something else that's a material thing.
It becomes more about an experience, right? It becomes more about a feeling and an experience and an expansion into what
peace,
else
peace, joy,
possible.
And clarity. That's what I'm after now.
Yeah.
Peace, joy, and clarity.
Yeah.
I want to be really clear about what I'm doing, where I'm going, how I can help, how can I best serve others. That's what I want to be clear about.
Love it.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because it's interesting that when you get to that place, that being place, things really do manifest more easily. And I think that's, and tell me if you agree, I think that's because frequently when we're trying to manifest things, we're coming from a place of lack. You know, I don't have it, so I want it, right? Whereas when we're really being, when we're being our full selves, when we're being this wonderful, fabulous, divine goddess, then we're not in lack anymore. That's really an abundant place. And then we can attract whatever, you know, whatever adds to our joy and abundance.
That is absolutely perfect, Cindy. When we're trying to attract, and we are trying so hard, we are, as you said, we're coming from a place that I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. I want it. But when you're coming from a place of power, it's entirely different. And you're throwing out a much, much stronger energy to the universe to respond to.
Right.
Right.
Oh, this has been so juicy. So, Mal, tell us from that place of empowerment all the fabulous things that you've created, because you have done some amazing community service work that we do want to share with our listeners, in part to show them so they can have an experience of what is possible when you step into this flow and you step into this place of being and experiencing life to its fullest. So would you like to share with us some of your great
projects? Well, my dearest accomplishment is the school that I built in Africa in memory of my niece, Holly, who was a huge inspiration to me in writing the book. I felt that her spirit was with me every day. And she lived life with the commitment to be the very best she could be any given day. And she fought, you know, just was awfully sick, had a terrible illness, fought that and lived with grace and commitment and would never let illness be part of her definition of herself. That was not it. She was an empowered young woman, and she loved education. She loved children. She was in law school and wanted to be a legal advocate for children when she was finished, and she passed away. So the school captures her spirit. That's what she was all about. So to me, that's my dearest accomplishment, and I hope I can build another one.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
and now the assistance fund, Holly's gift. If women can develop some financial independency, it can take them out of situations that they no longer want to live in. And it opens up the door to starting to live lives the way that they want to live and attract what they want to attract. And a woman that has financial independence feels better about herself. She's a better person in a relationship. She's a better contributor to society. the shift is just huge. So my goal is to help women, to educate them on developing a skill so that they can become employed. And there's a lot of women that do not have a skill. And if we could teach them, do they want to become a real estate agent? Do they want to become a professional dog walker? Do they want to become a website designer? Do they want to become a massage therapist? There are careers out there that women can do. You don't have to have a 4-year college education. You can get, you know, a really good job, get employed, develop financial independency by learning a skill.
Yeah, and just sometimes getting it goes back to that empowerment piece of the puzzle again. Just building that, having a skill builds self-esteem, it builds self-worth, it allows you to feel connected and capable of something.
Yes.
And that's really critical.
Yep.
Wow. That is so amazing. So that comes from a place of, if we go back 25 years, none of this is possible from the place that you were in. And, you fast forward to now and look at the complete, it's not even, a 180 or a 360. It's like, a 5,900 million spin that you spiraled up and off the charts.
It was a big change. It was a big change. I was in a very dark place, ladies. You know, when you want to die, that's a dark place. That's, the dark night of the soul. I know you've both experienced things in your lives that really were painful, and you had to
make a choice,
work through them to get onto the other side of it and reclaim your light and your power and your grace. So when you're looking at death as an option, that's not a good place to be in.
No.
And especially it was like a flip of a coin. Should I or shouldn't I?
Yep.
I mean, that's how bad the situation was.
And now you're creating miracles, not only for yourself, but for others. And that is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Well, I'm sitting on the fifth step now on the cover of the book with my dog. And I'm at that stage of healing and helping. I mean, I use the other ones on a daily basis. I still have to process and do things and use my five-step process daily. But my attention is on the healing and helping. So I'm trying to, get the message out to as many women as I possibly can and let them know that they have the power of choice.
That is so huge. Just, even just that message, you have the power of choice, that is life-changing.
Right, because in any given moment.
Yes.
Right, because I know that so often, how many times do people say, I have no choice, or I had no choice?
Oh, all the time.
Right. And so
there were no options. There were no options. What do you mean there were no options?
Right. So even just acknowledging that we are a choice, that's life-changing right there.
Yes. A thought that has been coming to me is doing a book, something about the power of choice and how women just every day, the girl next door, how they exercise that power of choice and how it showed up in their lives. What did it create?
So almost like it feels like almost like a Chicken Soup for the Soul type of book, like submit your story about where choice made a difference for you. I love that.
Yes. Yep.
Be really empowering.
So hold that thought in case you come across people. Please, let's all connect.
Absolutely.
I think it would be, I love having just regular women, the girl next door, the girl who lives down the street, the girl that does your manicure, whatever, tell their story. It's so powerful how they use choice in their lives to move forward.
That's just beautiful. Well, it's really hard to believe, Mel, but this hour has gone so quickly.
We had fun.
We did have fun.
It was good.
About 4 minutes left, so we'd like to give you the last word. And just what is the most important message that you would like our listeners to take away from this conversation, your work, your book, your journey?
Okay. A couple of things. One is that they do have the power of choice. They're holding it. They're holding that card. They have it. They just have to find it. The second thing is we're doing a wonderful telesummit on February 7th, 8th, and 9th, and some of the leading people from personal transformation are supporting me and the launch of the book. And we're going to have, it's free. People can go over to the website, click on the telesummit, alphatrick.com. Go right over there, click on that. You'll get all the information about the telesummit. We have fabulous people. Lisa Coffey, who just launched a big book today, she's going to be one of the guests. Joe Rubino, who lives in Boxford. Do you know him?
Dr. Joseph Rubino? I think I do know him. I thought his name
yes.
was really familiar when I saw
yes,
him on the summit.
Yes, he's probably one of the best authorities in self-help.
I'm going to pop over there and say hi.
Yep, wonderful man. And we've got Brenda Adelman. She's an actress out in Hollywood who wrote a fabulous book about forgiveness. Christine Closure, Transformation Catalyst, Paula Tarrant. Great guests. Please, 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 listeners, go over there, sign up. It's free. There's just going to be great content, things that will help you on your journey. And then the book comes out February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, and I pick that day for women everywhere to give themselves a gift of self-love.
Yeah, to fall in love with themselves. That's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. And to start the process of transformation for themselves.
Yeah. That's the important. Just start, even if it's small, even if it's a half of a baby step, just start, right?
Yes.
Just start.
Yep.
And remember that wherever you are, you can get to a wonderful place. I mean, you were literally at the place where you were prepared to end your life, right? I mean, that's pretty much as far down as you can go. There's not really much further down to go from there.
No.
And now you're at this wonderful, fulfilled place where you have everything you want. So this is really possible.
Mm-hmm.
Women can create this existence for themselves. Become the deliberate creator of your own experience. Because somebody else can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself.
I think you need a bumper sticker for that, too. Now we're going to create cards for you and a bumper sticker.
I love it. Oh, wonderful, Kristen. I love it.
That's my graphic design background. I can't help it. So, Mal, this has been so much fun. You have given us such great little tidbits and pieces of information. I know your book spells all of this out so much more clearly and more help for everyone. So is it an Amazon on
February
14th?
February
14th
on Amazon. But you know what? If you go over to the website, there's a whole thing there about all the free gifts that are going to accompany the book. I know you're both very familiar with book launches.
Right. Yeah.
And there's lots of goodies that people are giving that will go with the book on February 14th. And you can sign up and they'll send you a reminder. Today's the day. It's so simple. Again, it's all over at alphachick.com, and the soul notes are there if anybody wants to read some of those, if they're hurting today and they need a little inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have a listener that's really feeling a tremendous sense of urgency, if they just email me and say it's urgent, I will get back to them within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what's going on in my life. If somebody has a real sense of urgency, I'm there for them.
Great.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Mal. Thank you for being that resource in the world. That's just really wonderful.
Yeah.
It's about giving back, ladies.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
I don't want this to end. I'm like sitting here going, wow, let's keep going.
That just means we have to have you back, Mal. That's
absolutely.
All. You know,
I would love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love to. Please, anytime. It's my honor to be here with the two of you today.
Great.
And
it was really
our
fun.
Joy to have you. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Mal, for sharing this wonderful information with us. Thank you so much, audience, for listening. And, of course, we want to remind you that if you want more information about how to be an Alpha Chick, please visit the Alpha Chick website at www.alphachick.com and check out all the wonderful things that Mal has coming up, including the launch of her book and the wonderful telesummit. And please come play with us more as well. If you haven't already, go ahead, pop over to our Facebook page and become a fan of Energy Radio. We post great content daily, and we reward our most active fans for playing full out. We encourage you to play like no one is watching, all in a safe, inspirational playground designed to help you be you. And we invite you to come play with us again next week at 2 p.m. when our guest will be Emmanuel Dagger of Magnified Manifesting. To get information on all our upcoming shows, visit our website at www.energyradio.com, and that is spelled NRQIradio.com, or you can find out what's going on at our Facebook page. You've been listening to Energy Radio, your playground for expansion. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Kristen. Be sure to join us next time in the energy of infinite possibility. We love playing with you here.